We started last week a new series, and so just carrying that on this morning. Am I too loud or am I okay? Okay. Okay, let me ask you this question while you're kind of looking for the passage. Who do you think of as being blessed? Okay, you might think of the powerful. The powerful are blessed. You might think of the rich as being blessed. You might think of the beautiful, we love you, David, as being blessed. You might think someone who gets all nines in their GCSEs, they're the blessed ones. Or maybe you think good people, people who do good, they're blessed people. Or maybe someone who's got a nice house and a nice car, they are blessed people. Now, let me ask you this. Would you include yourself in the list? Would you say that you are blessed? Oh, hello. Nice. A little bit of audience participation. See, Jesus, in his famous teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, he goes up to the mountainside and takes his disciples with them, so like his inner crowd. And he goes up with them. You see that in verse 1. And then he grabs, well, doesn't grab, but crowds follow him as well. So you've got his inner circle and you've got his outer circle listening in to the things that he's about to teach. And he teaches his disciples and everybody else who's listening in. And he says, this is the people who are blessed. These are the people who are blessed. And this is what it means to be blessed. Now, for us in our culture, blessed can mean a lot of things. It can mean happy. It can mean good karma, or you've had good karma, you're blessed. You've done good, so you've got goodness coming back to you. The Greek for blessed actually means happy. So when God blesses us, it's like God is making happy us. He's making us happy, okay? He's saying that we're highly favoured, that we're honoured, that we're to be congratulated, that we're approved by him. There is no higher honour than God saying, you are blessed. Okay, Darren is going to come and read what is known quite famously as the Beatitudes. And it's Matthew chapter 5 and just the first 12 verses.
Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Thanks. I wonder what kind of person you are when you get invited to a party. I wonder if you're the kind of person who must show up with like a box of chocolates or a bottle of wine, or you're the kind of person who you just turn up as you are, completely empty-handed. In our house, my husband Paul, I'd say like he's almost obsessed that we can't turn up empty-handed. So there'll always be a box of milk tray or dairy box. Anyone ever come across that? That he'll give to the host of the party. So, be sure to invite us to your party because you're going to get a great gift. He doesn't like turning up empty-handed. But the fact is, I don't know if you've ever been to the kind of parties where the host has absolutely everything covered. They've got food, they've got wine, they've got drink, they've got decorations. And actually, you bringing something to the party is pointless because you're not going to add anything because they've already got everything. So sometimes you turn up empty-handed, or sometimes you turn up with a gift. Jesus says in verse 3 that God's favor rests on those who are empty-handed before God. Those people are blessed when they turn up empty-handed spiritually before God. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. See, the poor in spirit are people who know they've got nothing to offer God. That God, the host of everything, he's got everything sorted. His ways are so good and so pure that we can't bring anything to the party. There's nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. There's nothing we can do to earn our forgiveness. There's nothing we can do to make God love us more. There's nothing we can bring before him. He says, blessed are the pure in spirit. Because why? Verse 3, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. The blessings and advantages that come from being under Jesus' rule and Jesus' reign on this earth can be yours. The place where Jesus rules is for the people who are empty-handed before him. Not for the spiritually proud, not for the religious, but for those who recognize, God, I've got nothing to offer you. And then Jesus goes on. See, we might hear that and think, oh, you know, that's nice. Or you might think, don't really care. Or you might think, you know what, like I always feel guilty and I'm wallowing in the guilt of actually being spiritually empty before God. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. Now, Jesus comforts those who are grieving and those who are sad and those who are mourning. But I think actually in this passage, the mourning that Jesus is talking about is like the one who takes actually their sin, the stuff that they do that is offensive to God, seriously. Blessed are you who mourn over being empty-handed and spiritually bankrupt. Take it seriously. It says elsewhere in the Bible, in a book called James, it says, you know, you're a dirty sinner and your hands, they're dirty. Don't be laughing, but grieve and mourn over the real state of your spiritual condition. And as we do that, Jesus says the blessing is we'll be comforted. But it's not that kind of comfort that you seek to get from a bottle of wine or from a box of chocolates or whatever our thing is that we run to when we need comfort. The comfort that Jesus gives is so satisfying, so fulfilling. He gives comfort and joy in exchange for mourning and for despair. See, realizing we're empty-handed before God and taking that seriously to the point of being really sad about that, it realizes it paints a true picture of who I really am as a person, of who we really are. It shows actually just how small we are before God. It makes, hopefully, our attitude gentle and humble. And that's what the Bible calls meek in verse 5. And Jesus says, the meek, they are blessed. The meek, they've got God's favor resting upon them. All too often, I don't know about you, but I think more highly of myself than I should in relation to God. Jesus says, think of yourself as being small in relation to me. You're not big. Being meek means that you look at someone who is struggling and you don't say, oh, thank God I'm not like them. You say, actually, thanks by the grace of God that I'm not like them. And in a direct quote from Psalms, like their listeners, the disciples would have been aware of this. The promise that Jesus offers, you will inherit the earth. That one day you will inherit the earth with the other people who are meek. That's a direct take from Psalm 37. See, for the listeners, Jesus' close disciples and the crowds round about, they would have been so aware of the Roman rulers at the time that they come in power and they came in strength. And the religious leaders who were so religious, surely they're the people who are blessed. Jesus don't even list them. He don't say blessed are the powerful or blessed are the religious. Blessed are the ones who come actually empty-handed. Yet how often do I think that I've got something to offer God? That I'm blessed because of who I am. I'm blessed because of what I can bring to the party. And actually, that's not true. Jesus doesn't say you're blessed because you're an all right person. He doesn't say that. You're not blessed because you're intelligent. That might be a newsflash for some people this morning. You're not blessed because you're intelligent. You're not blessed because you've got your theology sorted out. You're not blessed because you do good. You're not blessed because you give loads of money away. You're not blessed because you sing loudly when we worship on a Sunday morning. Jesus said you are blessed when you realize how empty-handed you are before God. And when you mourn over that, that's when you're blessed. You're blessed when you realize how small you are before me. That's when you're blessed. And the kingdom of heaven and comfort, and the whole earth will one day be yours. That is the promise for you. And so Jesus goes on, and in his talking of the Beatitudes and talking about the people who are blessed, he says, actually, you need to be different. Blessed are the people who are different. See, followers of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, you're called to live differently in the world in which we live. And so in a world that hungers and thirsts after power and money and adventure, Jesus says, blessed are you, not when you hunger after those things, but when you hunger and thirst after righteousness in verse 6. Now, I don't know if you've ever been like properly hungry. Like, you know, like your belly's rumbling and all you can think about is food. I think for me, it's like, that happens often in my life. I'm always hungry. But when I gave birth to my son, I hadn't really eaten a proper meal for like 3 days. And it got to the point where, I'm so strong. It got to the point where I just fancied like a Turkish wrap, like a Turkish kebab. And so it was like about 10 o'clock at night. And I sent Paul, my husband, out to go and find a Turkish wrap. And he's like, Jen, where am I going to get one from? I'm like, we're in Whitechapel. There'll be somewhere. And he's like, well, if I can't find anything, like, what else do you want me to bring back? I'm like, don't bring anything else back. Just bring me back that Turkish wrap. Because I was so hungry, but actually there was only one thing that was going to satisfy it. Man, I'm telling you, it was the finest thing I think I've ever eaten in my life. The boy done good. We have a happy marriage. And I think that's partly to do with it. What is my point? So Jesus says, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you've got one track mind for the things of God, a one-track mind for God, a one-track mind to be free from sin and all the rubbish stuff that we do. Blessed are you when you hunger to that extent. You're blessed. Because why? Verse 6, you will be filled and you'll be satisfied. Yet so often, we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, do we? We hunger and thirst after the things that satisfy in the moment and don't bring lasting satisfaction. Jesus says, when you hunger and thirst after the things of God, that's when you'll be filled. That's when you'll be satisfied. So be different in what you hunger and thirst for, but also be different in the way that you treat other people. Look at verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. Now, you know when someone gets on your nerves? Someone gets on your nerves, or they anger you, or they do you wrong. Don't know about you. You might easily let that pass. I want to hold them to account for what they've done to me. And actually, Jesus says, blessed are the ones who don't give people what they deserve, who don't seek revenge, who don't seek to treat them the way they've been treated, who let things go and let them off the hook. That's what it means to be merciful. And Jesus is saying, blessed are the merciful, not because you're good people. I don't do that because I'm good, but because I understand the mercy that has been shown to me from God in Jesus. Blessed are the merciful because they'll receive mercy. Actually, the punishment that we deserve, that I deserve for the stuff that I've done and I do that is offensive to God. And yet he chooses to not give me what I deserve. Blessed are the merciful because they'll receive mercy. And so when we respond to others in anger and unforgiveness and revenge, it's the opposite of mercy. And I'd say that's probably because we don't truly fully understand the mercy that God has given to us. And so this morning, are you merciful? Could you say blessed? I'm blessed because I'm merciful. So in the way that we treat each other. But Jesus goes on, he cares about the inside as well as the outside. The Bible speaks so much about the stuff that goes on in the heart. And Jesus says, blessed are the pure in spirit. See, it's so easy to act religious, and yet our hearts are far off from God. It's so easy to smile at someone when inside you're absolutely hating their guts. Jesus says, don't be like that. Verse 8, be pure in heart. Be pure. Have a clean and undivided heart that comes when you say, God, give me that clean heart that I know I haven't got. It says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. And for the listeners, they would have known Psalm 24 even, where it says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can see God face to face? Only the pure in heart. And so Jesus says, you'll see God face to face. In a new heaven and a new earth, you'll see me when you're pure in heart. When everything inside isn't divided, when it's united together. Jesus goes on, be different in the midst of conflict. Now, you only have to turn on the news to know that we live in a world of conflict. But Jesus isn't just talking about the peacemakers who go over to the Middle East to make peace. He's saying, blessed are the peacemakers, his disciples who are sitting round about and listening to what he's saying. Now, note this, he doesn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers, the people who keep peace at all costs. He's saying, blessed are the peacemakers, the people who make peace between people who are in conflict, often at a cost to themselves. Blessed are the peacemakers. Know why you'll be called children of God? Verse 9. In Judaism, sons bore the likeness of their father, bore the likeness of their character and their qualities. And so actually, children of God, sons of God, the promise that we can be when we are peacemakers, that's because we're bearing the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. God, who's the ultimate peacemaker. Jesus, whose name is the Prince of Peace. See, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, made peace between us and between God. People were in conflict through his blood, through his death on the cross, to make us friends with God. So you see people that are in conflict, Jesus says, blessed are you when you make peace. But more than that, blessed are you when you invite people to meet God and to be in peace and live in peace with him. And if that ain't enough, Jesus goes on, be different to the point of persecution, verse 10, 11 and 12, to the point of insult and having people speak evil about you, because then God's favor rests on you. Like, seriously, Jesus, like that's a bit of a hard pill to swallow. So blessed am I when I'm insulted. Blessed am I when people speak evil of me, and blessed am I when I'm persecuted. But you know, often persecution shows the loyalty that we have towards something and the genuineness of something. So for example, I support Arsenal. I support Liverpool. No, I don't. So I support Arsenal, okay? If I'm going to get stick for supporting Arsenal, that's because people know that I'm an Arsenal fan, right? We had our glory days. They're long gone. So if you're giving me stick for being an Arsenal fan, that's because you know that I'm an Arsenal fan, right? If I'm not getting stick for being an Arsenal fan, it's probably because I'm not really telling a lot of people about that at the moment. And so I wonder if that's actually true for us. So if you're not feeling persecuted or insulted, or if people aren't speaking evil of you because of your allegiance to Jesus, maybe actually that's because we're not being loud and proud about it. It might be that you've got really tolerant people around you, and that is so good. Or maybe it's because we've not stuck our head up and said, yeah, do you know what, I follow Jesus. Blessed are you when you are persecuted because of your loyalty towards Jesus. He says you're in good company with the prophets, great heroes of faith that have gone before you. Verse 12, but the kingdom of heaven is yours, in verse 10. And so we are blessed and favored by God when we come before him empty-handed and when we live differently. And the blessings that Jesus offers, they can't be found in the world. They can't be found in a supermarket. They can't be found online. They can't be found in a different person or people. And you know what? This morning, if you're living like this, if you're reading down the list and like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's also me. That's me. If you're living like this, you know what? These are words of celebration. You are blessed this morning. You are blessed if you're living like this. Or maybe you're not. Maybe this actually is a bit of a reality check for you. See, the thing is, we can choose to not live like this. We can choose to. Like, Jesus isn't saying, live like this or I'm going to kill you. He's just saying, you know what? You're blessed if you live like this. That this is such a better way. They're the characteristics of Jesus. It's not like a tick box exercise where you go down and say, okay, I know I'm merciful. What is my reward? I'm going to be shown mercy. Jesus says, this is kind of what I want from my followers. They're blessed when they live like this. And so that's a reality check for us. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, I know for me, I was reading this and the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, so like the next couple of chapters, and just actually this standard that God requires is so up here. And I'm so sloppy and so down here, and so often I think actually I'm all right. I think I'm all right before God. I think actually I've got something to offer him. I think I'm doing all right job living as a Christian. But actually, you see this and you think, man, oh man, I've got a long way to go. And that was just such a reality check for me in my own life. God saying, Jen, you don't bring anything to the party. You think more highly of yourself than you should, and actually you're not all that. And the way you're living, you could be living so much better, in such a more blessed and favoured way. And do you know what? The past couple of months, God has given me opportunity to do that. And let me tell you this, it's been painful. Like, this stuff isn't easy. When you try to be pure in heart, when you try to be a peacemaker, when you try to be merciful, like, it's so not the way of the world. And yet Jesus says, my favour rests upon you. You are blessed. And so may that be a reality check for us this morning. And also, maybe if you're sitting here and you're like one of the people who were in the crowds when Jesus was teaching, and you were listening in, and maybe you're here today because you've been invited here, and you're not really feeling it, maybe you're skeptical, maybe you're curious, maybe you're unsure, there's an invitation for you to join in. To come and receive the favor of God in the here and now and also in eternity. See, because these sayings, they're all actually about Jesus. See, Jesus lived this life. He didn't consider equality with God something that he should be living up to, but he lowered himself in humility and in meekness and came to the earth empty-handed and lived a perfect life, a perfect life. And died a gruesome, persecuted death. That even as he was dying, insults were being hurled at him and evil was being spoken to him and about him. And why? So that he can make peace between us and God. And so there's an invitation for you this morning that you can come. You can come empty-handed. You ain't got to have it all together. You ain't got to be religious. You can come empty-handed and say, God, I come before you, recognizing what Jesus has done. And I just want to live differently. And so that's the invitation this morning, knowing that actually for followers of Jesus or for anyone who joins into the party, the promises are amazing. These promises are amazing. You can be blessed. This morning you are blessed. God's favor and his approval rests on you this morning. Like, is that not something amazing? Creator of the heavens and the earth, it rests on you this morning when you walk like this. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your words that God's favor does rest on us as we live out your words. And God, this morning for some of us who follow you and actually think that we're blessed because of what we know or because of what we do or because of what we contribute. God, I pray that actually you would open our eyes to see that we're blessed because we come empty-handed and poor in spirit before you. And help us, God, by the power of your spirit to live differently. God, you set the bar higher, and yet you empower us to be able to live up to that. And God, for anyone here this morning who is kind of like the people sat in the crowds listening in, God, I pray that they'll know that the promises that you offer, like here in our lifetime and in eternity when we stand before you face to face, is so much better than anything this world could offer. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the fact that he made peace between me and us in our brokenness and with dirty hands. And we can be friends with God because of Jesus' death on a cross. Amen.